What is the history, geography, mathematics, and biography of our church? How did Galilee Church begin? Who was the original father of the church? Who were the uncles and aunties and the original fellow helpers of the church? What is the foundation of our church? And how did the church grow? It is important for all Galileans to know the history of our church. How sad when a person is unable to recall his parentage. Likewise, how sad members will be if they and their children do not know their spiritual parentage. So God tells us clearly in Psalm 78, in Psalm 78, verses 3 to 7, that which we have heard and known, which our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who would arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. As the current members and as the older members of the church, we must know our church's origin and history well, so that we can pass on the spiritual heritage to our children and grandchildren. And since I'm one of the oldest members of Galilee left and the oldest pastor of the BP Church left, I feel it my privilege and responsibility to speak to you today to recount how our church was established so that our children and grandchildren might know, so that our future generations will know how our church came about, where we came from, how we grew, and why we remain steadfast in the foundation of our faith. It is like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. The Israelites were told to pass the story down to their future generations so that their children and future generations will know what the Israelites went through, traveling through the wilderness, and how God Almighty delivered them. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach them, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord thy God, keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your son's son, all the days of their lives, that their days may be prolonged. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Verse 7 tells us, teach them diligently unto your children, talk of them with them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, be in constant communication with them regarding the truth. And it shall be, verse 10, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you good, great and goodly cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and wells dug which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you shall have eaten and are full. Verse 12, verse reminds us, beware, beware lest you forget. On this anniversary is a reminder, don't forget. Forget not the Lord thy God. Yes, that is the warning. Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Deuteronomy 7, 9 and 10. There are two sides to it. Know therefore, the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his covenant to 1,000 generations, if we obey. And he repays to them that hate him to their face to destroy them, and he will not be slack to him that hateth him, and he will repay him to his face. So, beloved Galileans and all worshippers, the choice is ours. What legacy, what spiritual heritage are we going to leave to our children and our grandchildren? Deuteronomy 8, verse 10 is a reminder. The dangerous times are when you have eaten and are full, then you will bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware, lest you forget. A reminder. Beware, lest you forget. Don't forget the Lord, yeah? And in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and dwell therein, when your herds and flocks are multiplied, your silver and gold is multiplied, and all you have is multiplied, verse 14, then your heart be lifted up in pride, and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What a special reminder to every Galilean, to every worshipper, and especially to us who are now undergoing COVID-19. A good time to reflect. What am I living for? Where am I headed spiritually? And will I see my loved ones again? And what spiritual heritage will I leave my children and grandchildren? Verse 17, and you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware to your fathers, as it is today. So, beloved Galileans and all worshippers, we are told to remember God and not forget him and his mercies on us. And remember to tell the stories of God's goodness and provision to your children. Likewise, we want to acknowledge the original leaders and members of Galilee Church and give praise to God for his establishment of the church to save souls and give credit to whom credit is due for the outworking of this church. For our message this morning, let us turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is also called the Apocalypse. Chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, this thing saith the first and the last, who was dead and is alive. I know your works and your tribulation, your poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried or tested. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen. Thank God for the passage that reminds us of the promise of God, the founder of the entire church, to the pastor and leaders of his churches throughout the world. And the title for our message this morning is, in verse 10, be thou faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. Yes. Sounds like our marital vows. We say, till death do us part. Yes, till death do us part. Be faithful to your spouse till death do us part. But at the same time, in the service of the Lord, in our witness and testimony for God, it is till death do us part. Serve Him right to the very end, and then we depart. We depart to be with God in heaven above. This morning, let us reflect. How does a church keep going for 60 years? It is only by the grace of God. And at the same time, it has to do with the mindset and attitude and conviction of the leaders and members and followers in the church. The two words that keep coming to my mind as I prepare this message are the words faith and faithfulness. Faith and faithfulness. How does a church exist for 60 years? Yes, it is God who builds a church. It is God who provides support and defense for the church. But at the same time, the church must respond by faith and faithfulness. And we include other key words. Fearlessness. If there's faith, there's no fear. And there will be fortitude, seeking to do your best to overcome adversity. Yes. Faith and faithfulness means you won't forget, but you remember your source of support. Yes, that is God Almighty. You will remember the founder of your faith. You remember the father of the church. You remember the fellow helpers of the truth, foundation of your faith, the first fruits of Galilee Church, the fruitfulness, the fruit bearers, the faithfulness, and the future rewards. The two main or keywords are faith and faithfulness. On this happy anniversary, 60th anniversary of Galilee Church, let us be reminded, if we want to continue by God's grace in the next how many decades, we don't know, but it is by faith and faithfulness. What is faith? Faith means complete trust or confidence, having a strong belief, whether in a person or in a book, taking the person at his word, taking God at his word. That is faith. Faithfulness is remaining loyal and steadfast to what the person says or to what the Bible says. Faithfulness. That means go by what the person says and go by what the book says, abiding in the truth. So, faithfulness is keeping true to a person's words or vow. We see that in a marriage, when a husband is faithful to his wife, and when a wife is faithful to the husband, they keep the vows that they made with one another on the day of the wedding. Faithful, keeping loyal to the promises they made to each other, the contract that they signed. All right, the Greek word pistis, or faith, speaks of faith and faithfulness or dependability. It is a firm persuasion about God and His word and His promises. It is having a conviction that God means what He says in His word. That is faith. This morning, have you got faith? Have you got faith in God? Have you got faith in God's word? And if you abide, taking God at His word, taking God as in His promises in the Bible, that is faithfulness. So, this morning, let us be very clear. Conviction is based on God's word and God's truth. Romans 10:17 tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is God's word. And God has elevated his word. Yes. So let us believe in God's word. What is the opposite of faith in God? Opposite of faith in God is faith in humans. Yes. Faith in yourself. Reliance on yourself, on your own skill, on your own wisdom, on your own strength, on your own ability, on your own resources, on whatever you possess, or your property, yes, or your knowledge through your studies. Dangerous, because many a time the pressures and challenges of life are beyond our ability to cope. The Apostle Paul tells us his experience in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us when we were in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, pressed, yes, pressurized, out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired even of life. And we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And again in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 and 5, such trust have we through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Our adequacy is of God. When we trust in God, we have enough resources. The answer to lack of self-reliance or reliance upon others is to have faith in God. Yes. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this morning, you want to be pleasing to God? You want your children to be pleasing to God? Teach them. Teach yourself. Have faith in God, and God will be pleased. And God says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is the one who will reward faith in him. That is his promise. And that is what our Lord Jesus practiced while he was on earth. He rewarded the sick and the diseased and the distressed ones who came to him. When the woman with the issue of blood came to touch him, and blind Bartimaeus called out to him, our Lord healed them. And to each one he said, thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Our faith honors God, and God will honor our faith. Faith is taking God at his word, believing what God says, and act upon it. Faith and faithfulness. Number two, what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is remaining loyal and steadfast. Being steadfast to your word, your promise, your vow, whatever contract that you have signed. Faithfulness is saying what you mean and meaning what you say. Yes, it is like taking the marriage vow. It is also like the national pledge, we the citizens of Singapore. It is also like the membership pledge when you became baptized in Galilee Church or whatever church. You made a promise that you will worship God faithfully, attend church regularly, read your Bible, pray every day, obey his commandments, and worship the Lord, and give to the support of your church. These are oaths. These are vows. These are promises. Faithfulness means you are seeking to keep them. Have you been keeping your vows? Have you been faithful to your promises to support God's work, to support the ministry of your church, and especially Galilee Church? Yes, faithfulness is meaning what you say and saying what you mean. Officers of the church, you come for dedication. You made a vow. Are you keeping those vows? Whether you're seen by men or not seen by men, God is the one who sees. Are you keeping your vow? Thank God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us, all the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him, amen. Sad to say, Some human fathers and mothers and leaders of countries and societies do not keep their word. A lot of times they make a promise, but they do not keep their promises or word. So people lose confidence and trust in them and are stumbled. They are unreliable. They are not faithful. They do not keep their word. Why? Sometimes they are unable to keep their promise due to their circumstances, due to their lack of resources, sheer incapability. Sometimes they don't even have the intention to keep their promises. But not so with our God. Our God is faithful and reliable. He honors our faith in Him. Why? Because He does not lie and He keeps His promises. Hence, He can be trusted and relied upon. Thank God for this blessed Lord's Day. Let us recollect, how did Galilee Church begin? First, the founding and the father of Galilee Church. It was on 5th June 1960 at 2 p.m. that Galilee Church was inaugurated at 58 Pasir Panjang Road, what is known as 5 1/4 milestone. Today, what used to be the Galilee Church is now the WAF. Yes, those of you who drive down Pasir Panjang Road, you will see a lot of WAFs. Yes, go downs on the side. Not far from Chwee Chian Road, yes, we were diagonally opposite the junction with Chwee Chian Road. That was Galilee Church. It was a bungalow on a stretch of seafront owned by a person, Mr. Tan Teow Puan, who was then the Pepper King of Singapore. He had rented out his bungalow to a missionary, Reverend Paul Contento, and his dear wife, Maida. Reverend Contento was a missionary of the China Inland Mission, CIM, and had been to China. After some years in Singapore, he was being reassigned to Saigon, later named Ho Chi Minh City in South Vietnam. When the bungalow was being vacated, he approached Reverend Timothy To, pastor of the Life BP Church, to take over the premises and use it for the Lord's work. This is to the credit of Reverend To. Thank God for the faith and fortitude of Reverend Timothy To Siang Hui. He was a man of faith. He had surrendered his life to God and he became the founder of the Bible Presbyterian Church in Singapore. And God used him as a church planter. Although he had serious responsibilities as pastor of the Life Church, he decided to obey our Lord's Great Commission and reach out to Pasir Panjang, the west coast of Singapore. So the fact is, Reverend Dr. Timothy To Siang Hui is the founding father of Galilee Bible Presbyterian Church. Not me, although I've been there since 1963. The church was started in 1960, and the father of the church is Reverend Dr. Timothy To Siang Hui. Now the founding members. Interestingly, I found a list of all members, original members, the original 20 members of Galilee Church. Yes, Brother Alan Ang, Deacon Chia Hong Chek, Ronnie Chang, Michael Ho, Elder Koo Peng Kiat, Leong Keng Chong, Leong Keng Yu, Leong Li Lin, Maureen Leong, Ng Tiam Chua, Irene Leong, Deacon Robert Ong, Simon So, Ivy Tan, Pauline Tan, Owen Tasika, Dr. To Siang Hua, Reverend Timothy To, To Soon Kiang, and Elsie Williams. 20 names. 12 were from Pasir Panjang area. And today, only 5 are still alive. Then, the original church committee. Yes, the same names that I read out, plus, yes, Reverend Kwek Kiok Chang, Timothy To was number 1, Reverend Kwek Kiok Chang, Elder Tasika, Elder Heng Mui Kia, Elder Chia Po Jan, Elder Lim Keng Seng, Dr. To Siang Hua, Elder Deacon Chia Kim Chui, Mr. Ng Tiam Chua, Lawrence Leong, Koo Peng Kiat, Elsie Williams, Missionary Irene Tapps, Miss Ivy Tan, Reverend Kwek Ki Sui, and Deacon Chia Hong Chek. 16 names. in the original committee. Only three were from Pasir Panjang. So the rest were borrowed leaders, shared leaders, and only five committee members are still alive today. Thank God for each of them. They were not spiritually idle or jobless, but they were men and women of faith and fortitude, courageous, prepared to sacrifice in times of adversity. Some were from the Life BP Church, some were from Zion and Faith BP Church. Yes, we were the fourth church to be started. Some were from the Pasir Panjang area, some were from overseas. They were already active in the Lord's service elsewhere, but they chose to come and help start the new church called Galilee Church. They are like the yeast that you introduce to a new loaf of bread. Yes. And this was the nucleus for a new church of God. Thank God for each of them. Thank God for their godly example. God knows their hearts. They will not go unrewarded. May we follow their godly example. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, the Lord says, "Our God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed to his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and continue to minister." Beloved, thank God for all these godly examples, the founding fathers and the founding fellow helpers. The new congregation came regularly to worship our true and only living God, our Lord God Almighty, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Savior, and our Lord. And this was like planting a candlestick in a place of darkness, because our church was being located amidst many homes that were idolatrous in the Pasir Panjang area. We must therefore let the gospel light shine forth for the Lord. Hence, Reverend Timothy Toh chose for our church motto, "In Galilee, there is a great light," based on the words in Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, and Matthew 4, verses 15 and 16. In Galilee, there's a great light. Yeah, we're like a spiritual lighthouse, beaming forth the truth of the gospel. And thank God, it is not just having a rescue mission. Bible says we'll make you fishers of men. So we had our first gospel rally. Yes, thank God that over the years, the gospel light was shone forth faithfully from Galilee Church. Many souls were saved from Alexander Terrace, Bundat Terrace, Pasir Panjang area, from 4 to 6 milestone. They were the Leong family, the Ang family, the Sim family, the Wong family, the Lo family, the Fong family, and across the main road were the Lek family and the Lim family. And some came from overseas nearby. Yes, Sister Shelley, Mrs. Shelley Chu, was from Pulau Bukom Kechil. I remember how she used to row a boat from Bukom Kechil, rain or shine, to Pulau Bukom, from whence she took a motor launch to Singapore to Keppel, and then catch a bus to Galilee. Another Galilean who came by motor launch was Tay So Sui, Sister Tay So Sui from Pulau Bukom. These sisters were serious about worshiping God, and they came from overseas. Yes, every Sunday. How about us? How zealous are we? How serious are we about the worship of God? How far are we willing to travel in order to worship God every Lord's Day? When I first got to Galilee in September 63, the Lord laid on my heart the ministry at Galilee. Then I was elected in mid-December to start work as assistant pastor in January 1964. This was in fulfillment of the prayer of Deacon Robert Ong, because when the church started in 1960, I was in America studying, and Robert Ong used to tell me how he would pray at the seafront facing the ocean and pray to Almighty God to send back Philip Heng so that he can minister at Galilee Church. And this was God's answer to his prayer. And so by God's grace, I was elected to be assistant pastor. So I studied the situation. Most of the congregation were youth, only a few adults. The main worshippers were the Leong family, the Ang family, the Gan family, the Tan family. Slowly, other youth joined us. So I focused on the worship service, the Sunday school, the youth work, Bible study, and prayer meeting. Five main avenues. Thank God for Deacon Chia Hong Chek, who came from Life Church to help us. He became our Sunday school superintendent, and his dear wife was a Sunday school secretary. They sacrificed their Sunday afternoon for the sake of Galilee. And they even came to fetch me as I was resident in Life Church at the dormitory of the Bible College. Every Lord's Day, he will fetch me and send me back. Praise God for his loving provision. And now the first fruits. We had gospel rally with Dr. G.D. James in December 1960. 42 received Christ, of whom two-thirds were below 16 years old. In August 64, Reverend Grawley preached, and 28 received Christ. 25 of them were teenagers. Reverend Grawley preached again in August 66. 20 were saved. So we kept on gospel rally. In 69, Pastor Heng preached at a children's gospel rally, and 47 received Christ, and 14 more received assurance of salvation. Thank God, the youth and the children were very responsive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we did evangelistic work, not only on site, but also in Chinatown. Yes, the youth were attracted to all these meetings. We had children's gospel rallies later with Uncle Win. We had church Bible camps on site. Yes, besides the spiritual input, we made the young people do practical things. They helped to paint the church. They learned first aid to Dr. Tan Kim Ping. They helped to mow and tidy the lawn. Yes, we call them monthly grass party. We had ping pong competition and badminton contests. Yes, we went out tracting and learned personal evangelism. Yes, we stressed evangelism. Build up the church. Souls were saved, lives were changed, but the youth suffered for their decision to receive Christ as Savior. They were physically beaten by their father. Amongst them was Brother Ng Lian Po and Elder Richard Ng and Sim Sir Kiet. But thank God, through their steadfastness, soon their family name members, one by one, came to the Lord. Lives were changed, families were blessed and transformed. Church attendance and membership grew. Yes. So, when I first arrived at Galilee, I requested Brother Alan Ang, the YF president, to lead me to visit the absent youth and bring them back to church. So, we started Sunday school teachers training classes, and the people kept coming back. I offered them tuition in English, mathematics, history, and science. I told them to put God first, and told them that if they will come for Bible study, they are sure to pass their English. And God blessed them, and they did. And so our church grew, our youth fellowship grew, our Sunday school also. We were carrying out the great commission of the Lord. Yes, Bible study and prayer meeting were prominent. We allowed our church premises for ISCF meetings for the schools. Many souls were saved and edified, and we went tracking to Chinatown. Thank God, the gospel changed many lives and families were transformed. Yes. And then we thank God for the early Galileans. Some of you don't remember them, but I named them anyway. Brother Alan Ang, Vincent Leong, Ivy Tan, Gan Sai Lin, Xiao Tiang Wat, Tay Seng Tiam, Bo Chit Pang, Richard Ng Gem Hock, now Elder Richard. Yes, I still remember Elder Richard standing in the drain in front of the church as he cut the grass. Then when I preached at Kelapa Sawit and Kulai Oil Palm, he came along to help me minister. Soon Brother Sui Tian Ho joined us. And the fact that Galilee Church was right beside the sea at Galilee, at Pasir Panjang, reminded us of the early disciples of Christ who were called to be fishers of men. So, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So we thank God for our founding father, Reverend Toh, and his faithful followers who started Galilee Church. And we thank God for the early Galileans who followed their example. So we thank God for their faith and fortitude. Thank God for the first fruits. Yes. So from individuals came family salvation. Those who were beaten by their fathers, strangely, their fathers came to the Lord. The first father to come to the Lord was Mr. Bo Tai Wah. Yes, father of Bo Chit Pang. Then after that, Gan Sai Lin's mother. Yes, yes. Then from family, parents, now came families. Mr. Lo Nyap Kek and his family came to the Lord. Swim Sir Kiet's parents and grandmother came to the Lord. And then the Tan Chai Lan family. So from individuals came parents, came families, all to the Lord. And then we thank God for the fellow helpers. The Galileans offered themselves to serve and were elected in the first general elections in 1967. Thank God for Deacon Winston Leong, Deacon Xiao Tiang Hua, Deacon John Lim, and Deacon Ambrose James. Deacon Ambrose was the youngest deacon ever to be elected at 19 at Galilee Church. The deaconesses were Maureen Leong, Sim Boon Ho, Gan Sai Lin, Ong Chong Peng, and then later on, we had Deacon Sui Tian Ho also. By God's grace, we introduced portfolios so that every session member had a responsibility, whether it be Christian education, missions and evangelism, finance, Sunday school, publication, visitation, follow-up. Yes, everybody served willingly, happily, and God blessed us. We were able to help Bethlehem BP Church, Salvation Army boys serve at Changi Prison, help out at Mount Carmel Church and Sambal. We started Sambal Gospel Mission. Yes, our members went to become pastors of other churches. Reverend Tan Eng Boo to Grace BP, Peter Chua at Sharon BP, Eric Kwan at New Life, and we all continued to serve. We're at Joseph Says Mission, Kelapa Sawit. Yes, thank God. Then we had our first right. From first fruits to first right, our lease expired in April 1960. 30th April 1960. What are we going to do? We are a young church, 20 members. Yes, by the time I got there, it was about 45 at worship service. So we pleaded with God, and we thank God for Elder Joshua Lim of Life Church and Elder Lim Kim Hee, who appealed to the government on our behalf. Elder Lim Kim Hee even wrote to the Prime Minister's office to appeal, please give us time, give us time. And thank God, over the eight-year period, they listened to our appeal for 10 times until finally in February 1972, we vacated. And from there, we went to Life Church. We were 7 years in exile, as it were. Thank God for Reverend Toh receiving us there. But our church continued to grow. But this was a time for soul searching. What were we doing? Yes, we were doing evangelism. We were doing Christian education. But God was promising us more. We prayed for a piece of land so that we can build a church. And we promised God if we have a piece of land, we'll build a house to worship God. And we will build a block of buildings for kindergarten so that we can run Sunday school and fellowship groups and weekly, daily kindergarten for children in the neighborhood and elsewhere to come and listen to the truth of God's word and sing Christian songs from an early age. And we promise God we will do missions. We'll make our church a base for missions. And so, besides the motto, in Galilee there's a great light, we took on a new objective, preparing a holy people ready to meet God, zealous of good works. Not just preparing a holy people ready to meet God, but must be zealous of good works at the same time. So thank God, after 7 years at Life Church, God gave us land at Pandan Gardens, and so we moved in. Yes. And we had to build this church. First was this building and the kindergarten first floor. And how? Where was the money coming from? I told the church, from my observation, churches that get built on loans, they keep paying their loans for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years after the church is completed. But ultimately, it is still God who supplies. So I said, let us go by faith. We will not ask for any loan. We will not take any loan. We will take gifts that the Lord will send us. And I thank God for Deacon David Teo Sin Hock. In the session, he stood by me and said, I support that. Man of faith who lived up to his name. And so, one by one, the session agreed. And so, by God's grace, we built this sanctuary. When we started, it was going to cost 400,000 Singapore dollars. The pews was going to cost 150,000. We only had 144,000, barely one-third. But by faith, we proceeded. And God supplied. 15 minutes before midnight, I had promised the contractor I'll pay him on the day of dedication. And by the day of dedication, 15 minutes before midnight, the total amount came in and we were able to pay him. Well, beloved, God is faithful. So let us now prepare for the message. Revelation 2, be thou faithful unto death. In the book of Revelation, Apostle John is receiving a prophecy, recording a prophecy, telling us ahead of time what is going to happen to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the rest of the world during the last days before our Lord returned to the earth. First, Jesus Christ, the Lord, presents himself as the founder of the church. Yes, Jesus in Matthew 16 says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. And he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Verse 18. He's also the finisher of our faith. Not only the founder of the church, but he's the finisher of our faith. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We start by having faith in Christ. We end by having faith in Christ. Then we go into heaven. In Revelation 1, 12 and 13, yes, he is the one, the voice that speaks to me, and I turn. He's the one that is looking into the church. Yes, and in verse 18 he says, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of death, of hell and of death. Beloved, we are serving a living God, a resurrected Savior, yes, who's in heaven praying for us. So every Lord, our Lord Jesus is always with his church. Every church is like a golden candlestick. The church is to shine in the neighborhood. And the Lord Jesus is the one who moves, yes, amongst the golden candlesticks. He is the chief inspector, protector, and caregiver. Let us listen to our Lord's word to the church at Smyrna. And unto the angel of the church he said, this thing saith he that is first and the last. Yes, the Lord instructs the angel to write to the angel of the church. The angel of the church is none other than the pastor of the church. And Jesus himself is the first and the last. And he said, I am moving amongst the church. All right, Jesus has full knowledge of the church. Verse 9, I know thy works. I know thy works. I have full knowledge, yes, I have full knowledge of the church in its entirety. Your works are your labor, your occupation, your deeds. What are you doing for the Lord? How comforting this morning for the pastor of Galilee Church and the pastoral team and all the leaders of the church. Jesus is telling you, comforting you, I know your works. I know what you're doing. I know your sacrifice, your service for me. And this also goes to edify and encourage every other pastor, missionary, servant of the Lord, whether in a church building or out of a church building. I know your works. I know what you are doing. And beloved, it is so comforting. Our Lord knows exactly what we are going through. However, some people are scared to be told that Jesus knows your work. Why are you scared? Well, some people are scared. Because if they're not serving the Lord enthusiastically, you know what I mean? They're serving half-heartedly, yes, then they are scared. Because God can see. God knows what you're doing. So, beloved, this morning, let us take it by faith. God knows what I'm doing for Him. Praise the Lord. I got nothing to hide. Then Jesus tells us there's a fullness of suffering. He told the church, you're going through tribulation and poverty. Tribulation is anguish, burdens, persecution, suffering, pressure, yes. Poverty, yes. Being in need, being put in a quandary, lack of funds, lack of resources, lack of manpower, lack of helpers. Yes, many a church has a lack. Praise God. Thank God for lack, because it is during the lack, the time of lack, that we look up to God, cry out to Him, and then we see Him provide. Too many churches that are rich and sufficient, they don't need to pray. That's why very few people come to prayer meeting. What's there to pray about? We don't have need, any lack. We don't have any need. Why do we need to come to pray? But you know, the church that is in trouble, the church that is having difficulty, people are sick, people are suffering, lack of finance, lack of manpower, and they say, oh Lord, please help us. When we are up against spiritual resistance, spiritual enemies that we cannot see, and we cry out to God, and we see the supply of God. So that is the fullness of fortune. God says, you are rich. Rich in what? Rich in faith. You may not have the physical, material resources, but because you cry out to God in faith, it shows your trust, it shows your reliance, it shows where you place your hopes on. God Almighty, He is the provider. He is the all-sufficient creator. That is faith. Beloved, this morning think carefully. Which would you rather? In James chapter 2, verse 5, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Poor in the world, rich in faith. Why? They are heirs of the kingdom which God has promised them that love Him. They cry out to God in their need. But too often it's the reverse. Those who are rich, no need to pray. I got nothing to ask God. I got enough already. All right, so beloved, this morning, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Romans 4 tells us, Abraham was not weak in faith. God blessed him. So this morning, what is your faith? Where is your trust? Is it in God or is it in yourself? What sort of church would you rather have? Church rich in money or a church rich in faith? When first faith was built, 400,000. We only had 144,000. Second phase, we did the education block. 1.2 million. We only had 120,000. 10%. No loans, we proceeded. God provided. Phase three, we did renovation, air conditioning, the sanctuary. 2.8 million. We only had 1 million. Barely one third. God provided. No loan, by faith, and each time God provided. So that every time we came to the dedication service, we were not in debt. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. All right, beloved, don't forget, in the work of God, there will be enemies. And so, we are told we have foes. Foes of our faith. Jesus said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. They are Jews, same race, same ethnic background, and they look spiritual, they look religious. They look like, yes, compatriots. But actually, they are the synagogue of Satan. They are, yes, they work against the people of God. So, beloved, we got to be very clear. Satan works against the people of God. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan. He deceives the whole world. That is Satan. The non-believers, he will deceive. But for the believers, in chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible tells us, he's the one who accuses them before God day and night. He's the accuser of the brethren. So there will always be people who talk bad about us as Christians and about our church and about our God. They are members of the opposition. They're usually non-Christians, but sometimes sad to say, they're also false Christians. They want to sound spiritual, but actually speaking on behalf of Satan. So this morning, be careful. Are you speaking on behalf of Satan? Are you a false accuser? Are you a liar, speaking bad about God's house and God's work? John chapter 8, verse 44. Yes, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. So these people who speak bad about God's house are not God's people. They're a gathering of people honoring the devil. Yes. So this morning, let us be careful. But verse 10, Jesus tells them, fear none of these things which you shall suffer. Fearlessness. Don't run away. Don't be frightened. Don't be terrified. Yes. Jesus is able to overcome them. Yes. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, 29. Fear not them which can kill the body, not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus has promised us he will never forsake us. He promised us in Matthew 20, I am with you always to the end of the world. Yes. All right. And then he said, behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison. Yes, there are Christians who have been sent to prison that they may be tried or tested, and they will have tribulation 10 days, just a short time. Sometimes the devil accuses us, and yes, Christians get into trouble. Well, the interesting part is this, that most of the times the Christians that accuse are the leaders. Satan knows. When you strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. And so many a times, pastors are accused, falsely accused, betrayed. Yes, but never mind. God is our comfort. He said to, yes, the pastor in Smyrna, be faithful unto death. In other words, keep firm in your faith right to the very end, and then I will give you the crown of life. Faithfulness will have a full reward, a crown of life. And then fullness of comfort. He that has a ear, verse 11, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Praise God for his comfort and promise. And then he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. This is total conquest. If you suffer for Christ, even unto death, you will not suffer the second death. Second death is separation from God forever in eternity in a lake of fire. We will not suffer that consequence. So this morning, as we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Galilee Church, let us be reminded, faith and faithfulness are what God is looking for. And that's what pleases God, and God will reward us. Have faith in God and His Word, and keep faithful to God and His Word, and you will be rewarded with the crown of life. How to be faithful? How to measure our faithfulness to God? Be faithful to believe in God and take Him at His Word, trust Him to the end of our lives. Be faithful to believe in Christ for His salvation. Number three, be faithful and trust in the Holy Spirit to lead your life. Be faithful to your church where God has placed you. Number five, be faithful to your church's constitution and objective. The objective of the BP Church is worship. Be present every Lord's Day to worship. Then have fellowship. Yes. Come to church for indoctrination, not only during worship service. Have Bible study. Have your own Bible reading also. Fourth, defense of the faith. Know your faith well enough to defend it. Be able to convince the gainsayers. Number five, evangelism. We need to reach out to the lost before it's too late. Missions, evangelism overseas. Get out with the gospel. And number seven, the social aspects of the gospel. Not just the spiritual needs, but the practical needs of people. Let us be zealous to help them. Be faithful to worship God regularly. Attend church to worship Him. Faithful to fellowship with other believers. Be faithful to study God's Word. Be faithful to defend the Word of God. Be faithful to witness for the Lord. Be faithful to support Christian missions. Go to the mission field. Volunteer for missions. Pray God to call your son or daughter to serve Him full time. Be faithful to support the poor and the needy. Remember, the just shall live by faith. And this morning, on the 60th anniversary of Galilee Church, just as our founding father came by faith and faithfulness, let us press on by faith and faithfulness to God and His Word. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, how we thank You for Your love for Galilee Church, that You established it in 1960 in Pasir Panjang, then You brought them to Life Church and then the Pandan Gardens. Thank You for preserving us true to Your Word, true to Your truth, true to You all these 60 years. And we pray, dear Lord, You continue to bless Galileans so that they will remain true to You, not only in worship, not only in fellowship, not only in indoctrination and defense of the truth, but in evangelism and missions, and also ministering to the poor and needy. Lord, we pray that You'll bless Pastor Reverend Dr. Simon Nagarajan and Reverend Ong Hock Kee and Reverend Freddie Yong and all the pastoral staff and all the BOE and the church session and all the leaders in the fellowship groups and Sunday school classes. And Lord, in every department, help us to serve You by faith and faithfulness so that in turn we will receive Your commendation at that last day. Where we have failed You, Lord, please forgive us, cleanse us, correct us, and help us to renew our vows to You and trust You for greater faith and confidence to do well in the days ahead. Lord, we pray You bless all the hearers, and we pray that each one will take heed to Your word, help them to receive Christ as personal Savior, be faithful and loyal to their own church or to one church of Jesus Christ, and may they continue to love You and serve You by faith. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.